through the process of asking God, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? There was a point that God stopped me and say, look at it again. Look at what is going on, because in the process of you losing the girl, I am actually changing destiny. That was a wake-up call for me, because sometimes you are so focused for what you miss and you don't focus on the blessing that God already has for you.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
Isburner, yes.
Yeah, so today
three
is
syllables.
One of those interviews today that you really have to pay attention to, because there's so many, like, drop the mic moments of what you're going to hear.
True.
And one of the things that really strikes me, Wendy.
Yes.
Is that we're going to talk about the title of her book in a moment here, but there's like this anomaly, like, in the midst of pain, can you really find joy?
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that yourself?
I mean, I have, and I think you have too, but you got to dig deep. And when you're in the midst of a loss or disappointment, it's difficult.
Like, yes.
How do you find the joy in that?
Well, our guest today is going to take us by the hand and walk us down that journey.
She sure is. And she is a delight. Her name is Naomi Kadlika, and she's a devoted wife, mother of three boys. She's an author, and she is the visionary behind Hearts Healing Hearts, which is a faith-driven movement dedicated to restoring, healing, and empowering broken hearts.
Yeah, she has over 20 years of experience in the corporate world in leadership, and so she brings strength and compassion to this mission of hers to help others transform pain into purpose. Even that line right there, right? Transform pain into purpose. And her life was profoundly shaped by her own personal loss, including the heartbreaking experience that inspired her book, The Joy of Losing My Baby Girl. And so through her story, Naomi shares this powerful message that joy is not the absence of pain, but it's the presence of God within it.
Oof. That's one of the drop the mic statements. But today she is on a mission, really, to see hearts healed across generations, equipping individuals and families and communities really to walk in wholeness, in faith, and in purpose. And she really believes deeply, and you're going to see her passion, that you that what you carry really in your heart will overflow into others, and that healed people heal people. So enjoy the show with Naomi. Well, welcome, Naomi, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. It's a delight to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So fun.
You know,
you're absolutely beautiful.
A lot of people are watching you too.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of people listen, but I want people to watch because, man, your smile's absolutely stunning.
I appreciate it. This is the first thing I hear this morning from you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, we're going to do a deep dive down into your story. But the first thing that comes to my mind is the title of your new book, which is The Joy of Losing My Baby Girl. That just sort of stops me cold right there, because you got all sorts of questions. How can you have joy? How'd you lose your baby girl? What's going on with all that? So let's just start there. How do you come up with a title like that? and why?
Yeah, to be honest, I think I was asking God about my pain. My question was, why is this happening to me? Why? Because I have two boys. Before I lost my baby girl, I already had two boys. So when I lost my baby girl, I just gonna go through the story a little bit. My girl, I woke up in the morning and in a normal day, and my day got interrupted. through that, the shame, the pain, everything enter at the same time. And through the process of asking God, why am I going through this? Why is this happened to me? There was a point that God stopped me and say, look at it again. Look at what is going on, because in the process of you losing the girl, I am actually changing destiny. So,
Naomi, can I just stop? Let me just stop you let me just interrupt for a second. So did you lose the baby by way of a miscarriage?
No, it was not a miscarriage. My daughter, she was stillborn.
Oh.
So I was pregnant, 17 weeks pregnant. My husband was not home. And I woke up in the morning and my water broke and ended up in a hospital for 3 months. And during the journey in the hospital for 3 months, I was hoping and pressing and praying to God that there would be a miracle. I remember, like, in the hospital room, the whole time I was like, oh my God, God is about to do something huge here. God is about to change the heart of doctors. God is about to change the heart of nurses. Because the first thing that my doctor told me when I walk in a hospital was, hey, do you want to abort the baby? And I was like, where are you even pulling that question from? This is the dream that God placed in my heart. I was dreaming of having a baby girl. And now you're just going to come and snatch the dream that I had for a long time. So I wrestle with the question of even, you know, aborting the girl. But my faith was so anchored that God was going to turn that, you know, hiccup. I saw it as a hiccup. Into a testimony, and my pregnancy was going to go through. So week after week, as I stay in the hospital, I was seeing God promise and God goodness, because that is what I was praying. My faith was being elevated to see God promise. But yet, I came home without a baby.
Did they ask you about aborting the baby because of your health being at risk?
Because of my health, and because of her health. But mostly it was because of her health, because the doctor said, the baby is not a full term, and since my water broke at 17 weeks, the likelihood of that baby growing and becoming a healthy baby is really slim, which is science. So there is percentage of people who have gone through the same experience and got a different outcome. And that is the percentage that I was praying and trusting that God would do the miracle. So when that did not happen, I came home disappointed. Like the enemy, I had a gift that was planted in me. And I really believe that I didn't even know that the baby was a girl, just to begin there. I didn't know that. Because the first, when I went for a sono at that time in 2011, it was not as far advanced, so we couldn't see the sex of the baby. But God had already told me that she was going to be a girl. So I stand on the promise knowing that she was going to be a girl, and all the dream that I've had all these years will come to its completion. Only, unfortunately, that was not the story. I stay in the hospital for 3 months. And at the end of it, my pregnancy did just turn sideways, and she was born. Her heart was shifted in the right side of her heart and got enlarged. And unfortunately, she couldn't have a surgery. And therefore, you know, she died in my husband's arm. But my husband was carrying her. I whispered to my husband, breathe in her. Because that is the faith that I had. I really thought that if he breathed in her, she would leave. And it didn't. So I resented my husband. I resented everything that moved. I resented myself. I resented God.
Mm.
So that was the journey.
Naomi, I just want to stop you there for a second because I'm thinking about how many people, they're not necessarily relating to your exact story, but they're relating to the fact that I trusted God. Yeah. I expected God to answer my prayers. I'm a faithful person in loving God. And then it just doesn't turn out. So it is so devastating. It's understandable why you were going through those emotions. So what happened next? How did you start to work your way through? Because those kinds of emotions are so
deep.
Real.
Yeah.
And we get so confused about, oh God, who are you exactly? And where are you? So many people ask that question.
Yeah. So after all of that happened, I felt broken. I felt that I didn't have anything else to go after. What is even the point? I found myself into, I would say, even depression, because I remember I was in so much depression that I didn't even care for the blessing that I already had. Like, I already had the two boys.
Two boys, yeah.
I didn't even, like, was able to take care of them. And I remember I received a call from the school. One of the teacher told me, hey, your kids, are you guys going through something in your family? Because your kids, they are not able to eat. You know, they are not playing. I don't know what is going on. That was a wake-up call for me, because sometimes you are so focused for what you miss, and you don't focus on the blessing that God already has for you.
That's so powerful, Naomi.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, that brings tears to my eyes and conviction to my heart.
Yeah.
Because I think we all sometimes, at one time or another, we skim over the blessing and we focus on what isn't there and what isn't right and how and why God. And yet he's like, no, like you said, shift your gaze on me and what I've already given you. And wow, just powerful, powerful.
So how did you react when you heard from the teacher that the boys weren't doing well?
I went to the school and grabbed my boys and love on them. But at the same time, there was a card that our pastor had sent to me and referred to me to a group of ladies that were going through miscarriage. I had received that card, just ignore it. But I grabbed it because I needed community. I needed to, you know, go somewhere. And God is so faithful. I tried to drive to this community of ladies 2 times. I never entered the door. I would get to the door, turn back in, and go home. I would get to the door, turn, and go back home. Until, like, I feel an urgency one time that you have to go. And I went and met 2 women. One of them, she was on her 4th miscarriage without any baby, and she was hosting this group. And another one, she had 1 baby, and she was on her 3rd miscarriage. But I had 2 boys. My perspective changed, and I was like, why am I complaining when this woman is hosting this group without any baby? She's on her 4th miscarriage. She emptied her bank account to go to fertility treatment. So my prayer changed to, why is this happened to me? To, what now, God? What now?
Yeah. What were you expecting? I'm just curious, when you're wondering what now, what were you expecting or hoping for?
I remember I telling God that, hey, if you had me in a timeout, that means there is something good that you're going to do to use me.
There is no way that you're going to place
me in a timeout for no reason. Make it worth it. My prayer switched from, I came home without a baby, but my body tells me that I'm in pain. My body tells me, I remember, one time I'm walking at church, after not being at church for a while, and someone saw me in the hallway and it's like, hey, how far along are you? I just lost my baby. Ugh. And I looked at her, I was like, yeah, I just lost my baby. So my body was telling me everything that I didn't have.
Wow.
So I told God, I was like, hey, if you had to put me on a timeout, if you had me sit it down for it, make it worthwhile. So that's how I love, like how the Bible says that it's so close to the brokenhearted.
Yes.
I love, like, one of my favorite verse is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not like you have your own strength to do the thing. It's now you tap in on God's strength to be able to supplement the things that you don't have at that time. So that was my prayer. I was like, God, well, if you had me sit it down, I think make it worthwhile. And that's how I had to repeat that voice to me all the time. Mm-hmm. Instead of now seeing why I didn't have what I didn't have, I start seeing journey. And God starts showing me how his hand was throughout the whole process.
Beautiful.
Throughout the whole process. I remember one of the things that my mom had a history of miscarriage. She lost 11 kids.
Wow.
Naomi.
I didn't even know. I didn't know that she lost that many kids. I recall, you know, at 5 years old, my brother was four. He died in front of me, that I had memory. But prior to that, she went through so many history of miscarriages that, and stillborn and all these crazy pregnancies that I was not aware. So when I was in a hospital, because we had two kids, I wanted my mom to come and help me, you know, stay with the kids so my husband will continue to work. My mom couldn't come. There were like all kind of circumstances that just blocked her from coming. It was so weird. She was coming to visit us almost like every year, but for whatever reason, the time that I meet, she was coming from the Congo. But she'd been coming here to visit in this country since 1985. So this was not like a journey she hadn't taken before. She came and visited so many times. But when I needed her the most, she couldn't come. So I asked God, I was like, hey, God, why my mom, I need her the most right now to come and help me the kid, to help me with the kids, why she's not here. And God told me that she was not an assignment for you. She was not the person assigned to you for this journey because she's not healed. She's broken. She was going to use your journey as a remembrance of all the pain that she had to go through, and she was not going to help you. This is between you and I.
That's so good. You know, Naomi, I mean, I can't even imagine just what you have gone through, and then your mother, what she has gone through. I mean, devastating. And so many women have gone through dealing with miscarriages. But you talk about how joy is not the pain of, or the absence of pain. And I think that's just such a profound message. And so let's kind of tap into that a little bit more, because obviously we're talking about the pain. But let's talk about how the joy is there also in the midst of the pain.
Yeah, the joy can be found in pain when you don't lean on your own strength.
Right.
When you finally switch the, I think I talk about the posture of your heart. The way you find joy is not like pain is not there, because the two does not coexist. But the way you fund them is when you start looking at pain as a as something that is preventing you from achieving the grace of God. You're looking at pain. A pain is just a situation that's come to our life. You know, we all go through pain. You know, people go through divorce. You know, you lose a child, like my own story, or you lose a job. We all have those kind of pain that's come. But when you stop looking at pain for what pain is and start trying to find the push of your heart, which is looking at the high priest, looking at God as the source of knowing the beginning and the end, through that pain, it can turn that pain and use it for its purpose. And the purpose can be joyful. And that is how I found my joy. I found my joy because I was able to see that God was in my pain throughout. That is one thing. I found my joy knowing that through the pain, it was giving me a new compassion that I did not have. Yeah. And also, I got so closer to Him that I never been before.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. One is worthwhile.
Absolutely.
I grew up in a Christian church, but I did not have intimacy with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But because when you're going through pain, you are praying from your soul.
Yes, it's deep. Yeah.
You are praying, you are tapping from your soul to be able to give you the strength and the boost that your body needs. So there is definitely a big difference from praying from your soul and just like going to God and praying for food. When you're praying from your soul, you are really saying, God, if you leave me right now, I don't have nothing else. When you're praying from that space, only God, because that is His nature, He takes away the pain and He gives you the joy that you need. That is His nature. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that really kind of strikes me about you and your walk with the Lord is that you were very honest with the Lord. Like, you weren't playing any games. Like, you really wanted answers. And you were honest enough to just have like a conversation with God, bearing your soul,
raw.
Sharing your heart, raw and real. And a lot of people don't understand that. And maybe just talk for a minute about how God welcomes us, even though we're honestly sharing things that we think He might not approve of, or He might not like to hear, or maybe I shouldn't talk to God that way.
Yeah. And especially, I think that came with, that's what He wanted for me. You know, one of the emotion that I felt through this journey was the loneliness. I talked about, that's why I journal. That is where this whole book came from. Because my conversation that I couldn't have with people, I was journaling, and today is the book. But what I'm trying to say is I was lonely through my pain. Not because people were not around to be able to speak to me, but because the people that I was surrounded with, sometimes they were saying the wrong thing. So for that reason, I isolated and just targeted my question to God. And I think, in my book, I even talked about how both my husband and I, we grieve the same loss, but we grieve differently. You know, like, I had my pain. I was trying to understand God. Okay, if you walk me through this path, and I felt abandoned by you, why did you do that? And I was going to God. But sometimes you will get people that's going to tell you, oh no, you just have to be courage. You just have to be courageous. You just have to be, you know, strong. I don't think that is what God wants from us. God wants us for us to go to Him transparent. God, this is how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah,
I feel broken. I feel lost. I don't even know what I want, but something that I know is Your presence. I can sense You. I know You're going to meet me here. And through just like those conversation and those intimacy walk, I felt that throughout the journey, it was present. And that gave me reassurance. It gave me comfort. It gave me, joy.
That's so beautiful. And you know what? It's such a reminder, Naomi. I mean, gosh, you just bring tears to my eyes. It's just, you're so precious. You just really are. But I just think about how people, we want to help. Like, you know, we want to help our friends and our family members that are hurting. And it's true. Sometimes we just don't have the right thing to say. And it's a problem. And it can hurt more. So sometimes not even saying anything is okay. And just being with somebody, right?
Is
vital.
And God made it clear to you, Naomi, this is between you and me.
Yeah.
And even though God uses people to bring comfort and perspective, there are many times we sort of dodge that reality. It's like, no, I got to have somebody tell me the answers. I got to have somebody carry the load for me. And I think your faith gets even stronger.
In
your case, it allowed you to be so honest with God. Well, then show up for me, God. Okay, if it's just you and me, let's go. So it's really a real important lesson for all of us to really just let's get real with God. Let's expect. And I think that's the other thing, Naomi, like you had this expectation that when you asked God to help, that
God's going to answer.
He's going to show up.
And he's going to show up. Yeah.
And
that is, so I love that you use the word expectation, because from the time that I was in a hospital, I did not see, I remember, you know, there is your OBGYN and there is like a nail, some word, like it's above OBGYN. So it's specialized with high risk pregnancy. So he went to school way longer. I had one of those doctors. And anytime that I talked to him, he gave me fact. And I did not like the fact that he was giving me, because my faith, though it was on 1% or even 2%, I just felt like the capacity of 2% was way bigger and God was going to do the miracle. So my brain, as I was laying down in the hospital room, was, oh my God, I cannot wait to see how like this whole place just gonna be like, it's such a miracle. This place is about to turn around because God is about to show up and just, you know, change this whole place, because I'm going to walk with a baby that is perfectly healthy. That's how my faith prayer was, that elevation. Yeah. So when all of that didn't happen, I got disappointed and I was very like honest with God. But also through the journey, God removed everyone that this assignment was not for them. Because sometimes, you know, when you go into the journey, you think like your family member are the ones to be present there to help you. Like in the case I told you, like my mom, or sometimes, you know, even your husband is not in that assignment. So God had to show me that this was not between all those people, it was between you and I. I just wanted your faith to be anchored only on me. And that gave me, I remember when I resented at my husband that he did not breathe on my daughter, or even the day my water broke, he was not home. So God showed me, he was like, I did not want him to be at home. Because if something had happened the day before, then you were going to blame him. You were going to blame him because you are looking for the reason in the wrong place, in the wrong people. Just keep your eyes focused on me.
That is a message for somebody listening today, Naomi, because I think too often people want to blame. They want to point to somebody. Well, you should have been there. Or you should have said this or done that. But like you said, God just wants us it to be between him and us. And yet we try to bring in other people, and it doesn't go according to plan. So that's well stated, and I know someone needed to hear that. But you know, when people are around us, because that's the way it is. We have family members. We have friends, we have our congregation, different community. People are around us. So how do we invite people to come into our space when we are grieving or when we are in this kind of place of not understanding and maybe lonely, and yet people do want to help? How do we let them in without pushing them away?
Something that, and I think this came with a lot of questions to God, because I already gave an example for my mom. This is what I believe. I'm just going to go clear first, and then I will give example. Anytime that God is walking you through, and I, for me, like, truly believe that the season of loss, going through losing my baby girl, was actually a journey that God's hand was throughout. He showed me throughout, like, every single steps, how he was present. So God usually assigned the right people for your assignment. And everyone around you are not those people. I had a friend that she will come in the hospital room and will play crosswords. And we will play card. She will stay with me like the whole time. And she just came and sat with me. She was like a miracle for me in that season to do that. I had this lady for my small group at church that I just met, and I started attending this small group about maybe 2 weeks earlier before all this happened. This is the person that when I was in a hospital, she will come and give my husband a break and took the kids at the park and rally all the women within the group to come and provide a meal to my family and all of that. So though I did not have like my direct family to help me through that season, but God had the people that were assigned to me dispatch to come and help me in that season.
And you allowed them to help. And that's another thing. So many people don't allow that. So I'm so glad
you did. It was very painful because a lot of us, we do not want, letting our guard down, I would say, or want let people in. But I think there was an attitude of my heart that was being shifted in that time. And the more I was leaning to what God was doing through me, I was willing to allow other to come in and serve me, as you know, because they were assigned to my blessing to come and serve me. So you cannot block somebody else's blessing.
I love that.
And it blessed them to serve you.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that the terminology that you're using, you know, that they are assigned and then they've been dispatched. and I mean, it's a message for me to make certain I'm listening to God when I'm on assignment and not, you know.
That you're being dispatched.
And then I'm being dispatched. Yes. And not hold back. There are so many of us who, honestly, when we're trying to help a person who has gone through something so traumatic, we feel helpless and like, I don't have the words. I wouldn't know what to say. You back off, not realizing that even just your presence, like your friend, can bring healing.
I'm going to tell you something and you will be surprised. So when my water broke, I already mentioned earlier that my husband was not home. I called my neighbor, which was my friend, to come and drive me at a hospital because I still had the kids at home at that time. I needed someone to drop them at school and, you know, take me to the hospital. She came and helped me, took the kids at school and drive me to the hospital. She left me at the hospital. I was in a hospital for 3 months. She never came back. She never called.
Really?
Even when I lost the baby, she never came, not even to the funeral. I was mad at her.
But she just didn't know how to show up.
God had to show me her heart and say, you got to release her. Her assignment was carrying you to the doctor. All the other thing was not for her. So
you have to release her. Huge.
And I released her.
Yeah.
I said 300%. I was like, oh, Lord, thank you.
Wow. Because it's not that she didn't care or not love you or wasn't concerned, just didn't know what. Yes. Wasn't equipped.
You know, all those kinds of circumstances, as you look back in hindsight, provided such invaluable insight for you into who God is and how he works. Not what you want him to do, but understanding more that he is so trustworthy, even when we don't fully get it, and we wish that he would act differently or do things differently. And that whole experience has drawn you so closer to the heart of God. That's why your faith is so strong. But for those who are struggling right now, Naomi, and wish they had that kind of understanding of God and that kind of trust and love for God, but they're not there. Can you just help them a little bit find a way to start that journey or to get a little closer to getting there?
I usually say that, you know, God is very gentle. He does not rush us. Because I love that, you know, the way that he pursues us is through his encounter. And sometimes he chooses different journey for different people to encounter him. And I know that sometimes when a lot of people, like when you're going through a journey that it's so unclear, and that is where the enemy come, kill, steal, and destroy, right? So my prayer for those people will God create a new sensitivity in the heart. Because that's how he met me. He created a new sensitivity in the heart. I did not know that I had the courage. I didn't, first of all, didn't know that I could forgive as much as I did. Release, like one of the friend came when I was telling her, hey, the doctor said that I should abort this kid because she was a nurse. So I'm just like pouring my heart to her. And I'm like, the doctor said I should abort because, you know, of what happened, you know, if the baby is born, even if the baby is born at full term, she may be a disabled baby. And she told me, I think your doctor is right. That's what she told me. She said, I think your doctor's heart is right. And I think that, you know, caring for a, you know, a disabled kid could be so hard. She meant medically well, but for someone who's fighting and her faith is at a different position, that is just not the right thing to say. So God had to create a sensitivity in my heart to release people like that. God had to create a sensitivity in my heart to understand different people and different assignment. And because they are not, they don't know, is not because they don't care. It's just because they don't know. So that I would tell that person, God, would you meet them where they are? And I know you don't rush your promise. You don't force that on us. It's truly like the position of somebody's heart need to change to look to God.
Yeah. And again, I think that's so genuine on your part. And it models for us to be genuine with God. We want answers, but we want more than anything else to know God's love for us. And you can't get there unless you're willing to be really raw and honest with God and say, I need sensitivity. I need something from you, God. And the beauty is that God loves you so much more than you could ever imagine. And if you'll just, like you had to be, Naomi, be patient and expectant, God will begin to reveal those things.
Yeah, so true. So, you know, Naomi, you emphasize the idea a lot about healed people heal people.
Well, you can stop right there because that's so the opposite. Not the opposite, but you've always heard that saying, like, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah, yeah. No,
hurting people hurt people.
Yeah, yeah,
well, here's the flip side of this.
That's right. And I like the flip. It's healed people heal people.
Yeah.
And so let's just have you elaborate on that just a little bit. And how can we cultivate a healing legacy? Because that's really what you're after as well, is a healing legacy. And I love
that. So I already talked a little bit about the journey of my mom. And I've seen how a beautiful person can be broken, and not being able to live in the capacity that the promises that God has for them, only because they grieve of the pain. And some people could be for the marriage that they didn't have. For some people could be for the divorce. For some people could be like all kind. I can list a whole thing that bring grief and resentment. And anytime that pain come, the only thing that it come to do is pretty much counterfeit God blessing, God promises. So really through revelation, God had to show me, you need to get your heart healed. So you're going to stop the pain, first of all, in your family line. And second of all, empower other people to go heal the other person. So my heart is,
yes,
go on a mission, heal 10,000 hearts so those people can turn back and heal other people. So if you are around me, I remember walking, I serve as a connect lead at my church. I would go like just meeting people around the hallway and I would ask them, hey, how is your heart? I stopped asking people, how are you doing? Because a lot of time people, when you ask them, how are you doing? They give you a fake response. I'm doing good. And I'm like, no, how is your heart? So sometimes like when I ask someone, hey, how is your heart? They will be shook, like, what? But it will help them stop and ask, what do you mean? And some people will just like pour their heart to whatever is going on. And God showed me that that is your mission. Your mission is after people's heart so that they can walk in freedom. Because when we have people walking in freedom, they can only become freedom for somebody else. It is a trickle down. When you heal yourself, you also pull somebody else for healing. And that person pulled the other person for healing. And let's go.
Hey, you know what? Amen. I knew I wore these heart earrings for some reason. Yeah, right should. Here, sister.
I love that.
So, Naomi, you've got this book that's been released now, The Joy of Losing My Baby Girl. What are your hopes and your expectations for how God is going to use that book?
My hope first is for for the people that I'm going through, because that book is not only for someone who have lost a child. It's the book about how God can meet you from your pain and transform that pain and make something good. So my heart, I'm really speaking to the people that pain has come and knocked at your door. And when pain come and knock at your door, what do you do with it? I think I heard God saying that, hey, pain is a test. How you respond to that pain will determine whether you pass the test or not.
Yeah.
You either resent God or you allow God through pain to strengthen you, because that is what he does. Through pain, when he comes, he strengthens you. He's going to equip you with what you don't have, but only everything. He does not rush himself through. He does not force himself through. You have to allow him the space to say, God, how? Use me.
That's good.
So that is my prayer for that book, for the people that are hurting. And I say, hey, I know you are in pain right now, but don't stay there.
It's good. Yeah. Just it's such a beautiful ministry that God has put on your heart. Mm-hmm. And he never wastes our pains. And so the fact that you've got a different heart posture, as you say, and you've seen that there can be joy within your pain, and to help others through theirs is just a beautiful assignment that God has you on. And so I bless you, Naomi. Mm-hmm. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bless you with all that he has for you. Like, I just get teary-eyed thinking of all the hearts that you will help set free because of his truth that's on your lips and in your heart, and that he will just continue to help you help you help others release their burdens, release their bitterness, their resentment. And it's because you've been through it. So I just bless you. I bless you with all that he has for you. You're a beautiful, beautiful child, daughter of the Most High.
I receive it. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
And we're also charging you with responsibility, listener, viewer, to go get the book. The Joy of Losing My Baby Girl. Go get it now.
Yeah. Is the best way Amazon?
It is on Amazon. Yes. It is on Amazon. Okay. Yes. The best way for right now.
Well, we have so loved having you on. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing your heart with us and just being so raw and authentic. And we hope to see you again sometime soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.